Good evening, Cowboys on Everest.
Yeah, hi, this is Mount Everest.
Yes.
Great. I'm trying to reach Peter Breslow.
I will give it to him. Peter, okay. To you.
We're calling Mount Everest because NPR's Peter Breslow is there, tape recorder in hand. He's with the Wyoming Centenary Expedition. They call themselves Cowboys on Everest, and they're heading for the top of the mountain. We've been following Peter's progress for the last several weeks, and we've given him a call today to see how things are going now that they finally reached base camp.
Hello?
Pete?
This Hello?
Is Peter, this is Renee.
Renee, hi.
Hi. You sound surprised.
We're just sitting around waiting for the phone to ring.
Peter, what have you got there, though? Your tents in a phone booth?
No, it's a little more elaborate than that. We have this whole communications hut. We inherited a fair amount of the equipment from a British expedition that we took over the same base camp that they had. And they have this device, this telephone that we're talking on, which is basically a satellite uplink, a TCS-9000, it's called. And you can just pick up the phone, and if it's not busy, you can call me.
It must be startling after, traveling on roads that weren't even roads?
Yeah, well, it's definitely the most technology we've seen in a while. Just to update you maybe a little bit on what happened, if you heard my last story, we were stuck in a cruddy little town called Chigar, and we were waiting for our gear to arrive, which was traveling overland across China from Beijing into Tibet. That was about 40,000 pounds of gear. It finally did arrive, and we were all excited. We were finally going to get underway, and we drove out of Chigar and got to the bridge, and lo and behold, there had been an earthquake and a landslide, and the bridge was washed out. Some of the trucks tried to run the river, and it was a pretty rapidly rising river, and some trucks made it across one way, and then another truck tried to come back across the river. As that truck was driving across, it got swamped. Inside the truck was a driver, another man, and a seven-year-old kid. We were standing on the shores watching this dramatic scene of people trying to rescue this little seven-year-old child from this raging river. The river began to flow into the cab of the truck. It passed through the windows and started to edge up very near the top of the truck, and that's where everyone was sitting. The child did make it ashore. He wasn't even crying. It was really amazing. We finally got to base camp at about 2:30 in the morning, and just kind of flopped into a tent. And the next day I woke up, and there's Mount Everest right in front of me. It's almost surreal. It almost looks like you could just throw in a day pack and go and hike up there. But
you can't, right?
That's definitely not the case.
How far is it exactly?
I think it's about 12 miles. It's about 12 miles and about 12,000 feet. We're at 17,000 feet here. And today I sort of got my first dose of high-altitude hiking. I carried, we're starting to establish our upper camps, and I carried a load up to just over 18,000 feet, which left me pretty much huffing and puffing. The weather finally appears to be breaking, and so we get some pretty good views of the mountain just all day long, and it's really beautiful because the light changes, and even at night you get the alpine glow on the mountain, and it turns orange. And the first couple of nights here we had a full moon, so that was really spectacular also.
Now, you're not going to be heading up the mountain until the end of September, right?
Well, no. Teams have begun heading up right now. We're behind schedule now, and it's a real tightrope that you walk between when the monsoon ends and when winter begins, because once winter officially begins, you get incredible winds on the mountain, which would just blow you off the mountain. So we have to work fast now to make up for the time we lost. It took us a whole month to get here. We were hoping, maybe 10 days to get here. The one advantage for the long time arriving is that we've acclimatized quite well. So anyway, a bunch of folks are up on the mountain starting to establish higher camps, and we just need to ferry loads, food, oxygen, tents, sleeping bags. It is a real, it's almost like a military assault, very well organized. Certain teams responsible for certain camps, and establishing those camps and supplying those camps so that the next team can come in, use the facilities, and establish the upper camps. And then finally, the summit climbers. We've got 6 designated summit climbers. We try to save them a bit. They don't have to carry quite as many loads as other people. Hopefully they'll be a bit fresher. They'll be able to establish themselves at the upper camps. And then if all goes well and the weather's good, make a summit attempt sometime. Now we're probably talking end of September, first week or two of October.
You know, after all that dragging to get there and all that waiting for this and that, sounds like morale's pretty good. You sound like you're having a good time.
Oh yeah, it's really great. I mean, it was nice to get out today and go and for a hike, you know, and carry a load up the mountain. And every so often, I just sort of have to pinch myself to actually realize that I am, in fact, looking at the highest point on the earth.
Peter, thanks a lot. We'll be back in touch with you. NPR's Peter Breslow, who's at base camp on Mount Everest.